Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
This is the last in a series I've been working on. It's called The Real American Idols, and I think it'll fit in with what the Lord wants to tell us today. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. They'll appear on the screen here in just a moment, and we're going to read through this, and I believe God's going to speak to us. Today, we're going to exchange the idols of this world for something that's real. But it's going to require something from you. There's some things that you, I don't know whether you desired to do this when you came here, but I believe it because of the Word of God, there's some things you're going to leave here and never take up again. Listen to the Word of God in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. It goes like this. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" This became known to both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of Jesus was magnified. And also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20 together. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we desire that your word would prevail today. And Lord, it only will happen after we renounce the idols of this world, those idolatrous things that, Lord, sometimes we just kind of dismiss as it's just the way America is, that's the way we are, it's just a part of my life. But Lord, somehow give us wisdom, insight, and the perspective of knowing that we belong to you. And Lord, those who have yet to surrender to you, Lord, I pray this is the day of surrender. And I pray that God, your Holy Spirit, would teach us today and make us more committed to follow after you with all of our hearts, all the days of our lives. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the whole premise we started from was that scripture that says, "And thou shalt have no other gods before me," in the Old Testament. And we've tested that in various different ways because oftentimes in a culture like we live in America, there are certain things we'd never consider ourselves idolaters. Yeah, we have certain hang-ups and various propensities. But look at it this way. The false idols in our life need to be replaced with genuine worship and fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. It's not a fact of you just renouncing idols and putting them away. What are you going to replace it with? The Lord said in his word, he says, "To whom shall you liken me, or shall I be equal?" And I just have a couple of questions that we'll work on. But when we do this, we can expect to experience several things. Miracles of grace and the magnificence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. Wow, that's a pretty massive exchange. Miracles of grace and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. So it leads us just to a couple of things we'll talk about. Number one, is it your desire to magnify the name of Jesus in your everyday life? All in favor say aye. How are you going to do it? Get to part B? One other thing. I sort of say, "Oh, aye. Well, okay, here we go." Secondly, are you willing to confess and forsake the practices in your life that are not like Jesus so the word of God may prevail in your life? That's the other half of the equation. You want him to prevail in your life, but are you willing to get rid of the other stuff that keeps him from doing it? Well, could you repeat the question? Oh, never mind. Miracles and signs and wonders are a part of the Great Commission. We're going in heavy today. So go to Mark. It says this. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That seems reasonable. But this is what he says. He who believes on me and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Moving on. A couple more verses. And these signs will follow those who believe. You believe? What's following you? You believe? What's following you? This is what Jesus said. This is not an imaginary thought process. And he says, and then he starts saying some stuff. Oh boy, here we go. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up servants. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh my goodness, do we have some things to believe for today? But you know, I'm not afraid because I believe that Jesus is in the house and all the things he mentioned can happen today. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Well, miracles are God's great exchange for the temptation to embrace idolatry. And the story that's in the Bible here, it's about these guys. And I love reading this story because it's pretty much up front. These guys just said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, you know, we're going to do this type of stuff. And Jesus I know. Paul, I know. Who do you be? Who you is? I don't have your address, okay? Paul's mission throughout his ministry was to walk in the demonstration of the Great Commission. And what that simply means is his constant confession was that he was a servant of Jesus. If you read the various epistles of Paul, he says, Paul is an apostle, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never moved away from servanthood. And if you think that you get an extra crown or an extra this because now that you've arrived, I want to tell you, you'll never, you've idolized the fact of being popular or being made known. And Paul never went there. And I want to help us today to get to a place that I believe that before this service is over, God's going to demonstrate himself in a wonderful way. So, we must live in constant reminder that we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. Well, for me that means that miracles are a byproduct of being a believer. Now, I'm going to help you define that hopefully it will help you to get away from the aura or the stigma of the idea that miracles belong to miracle workers. What does that mean? That we must live in a fear of we must not live in the fear of not being enough to perform the miracles available to Jesus' followers. I know right now I cannot perform a miracle. I'm good with that. But I know that Jesus in me can do that. How about you? But are you willing to be his agent in some situations where it seems to be impossible? And some of us are intimidated by the devil and we've idolized the fact of being a person that, I don't want to be embarrassed. So we've idolized the idea, I just want to keep myself under wraps and keep my image intact. If you only knew what it was, honey, you'd give it away. Because you really ain't all you think you are. Well, sorry if that hurt. I'm sorry. The world is captivated by things that are miraculous. Now, as much as miraculous as you think some of the technology that we've been able to accomplish is, it is not miraculous. So we can have instant knowledge, we can Google and we'll learn anything. Jesus can put that stuff in your mind in a millisecond. You don't need Google. Really? All the things we succumb to and what happens when your phone dies? Anybody ever have their phone die and they really need the information in it? Come on, wave your hand and confess the fact. You're under confession right now. Because you were depending on it to do what nothing else could do. And then ever try to borrow somebody's phone and say, I don't think so. Could I use your phone? I don't think so. Try to find a telephone booth. They don't exist anymore. But Jesus is always available. Oh, yeah. I want to give you a definition of miracles because I think it will help us all. We must be willing to move beyond the definition of miracles, but here it is. A miracle, this is in one of those settings, secular settings, it says like this. Miracles are surprising and welcome events that are not explicable by natural and or scientific laws, and that is so they are therefore considered a work of a divine agency. Isn't that sweet and spiffy? Yeah. But miracles are highly improbable and extraordinary events that bring welcome consequences. I welcome the consequences of God's miracle in my life today because God does nothing but good. And so we're dealing with here, Jesus desires to enlist you as an agent of welcome, highly unlikely, unexplained consequences that will bring him glory and cause unbelievers to believe. How about that? That's a good statement. Highly unlikely, improbable things happening, but it'll cause people to believe. If God can do that, God can do anything. And that's the absolute truth. There's no limits to what God can do to people who are surrendered under the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. But we got to make some Holy Spirit adjustments in order for that to occur. Signs and wonders are not to be idolized. I grew up in an era of years ago where they'd have revival meetings and tent meetings and all types of miracles would happen. I don't want to go into all that because it'd take way too much time. But various people and personalities were idolized because they were miracle workers. I won't call any names, but some of you that go back that far could name some names. But you do not have to look for signs and wonders, but rather allow faith to introduce them through you. We used to go around in summertime. We go to the various, you know, meetings and look for those things to happen. And we sit around, wow, did you see that happen? Oh, the person got healed. Oh, their leg got lengthened. They got healed of this and they were able to. And you know what God's saying? What are you doing on the sidelines? How about getting into the script? How about being an active agent of God's grace happening through you? Well, preaching of the gospel cannot exclude the work of miracles. We can't. There's no separation in Mark between the fact of believing and miracles. They're on the same plane. How can that be possible? I mean, I think beliefs down here and miracles up here, I'm sorry, but your theology is off. They're the same. They're on the same level. Amen. The adjustment has to be made in us, not in him. But it's not to the point where we idolize miracles. I'm going back to that over and over again. Because here's what happens. When the door of salvation has been opened by belief in Jesus, all of heaven's blessings are available. What? Believing? Some of you here today, in this room, before you walk out of that door, this is a bold statement, are going to experience a miracle from Jesus. You know why? The greatest miracle there is salvation. Nothing greater. So how do you know? Because without Jesus, nothing's possible. Doesn't matter. Well, We must walk in the authority of the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 13, go back to that for a moment. We'll repeat that. It says this, and some of the itinerant ones, they took it upon themselves, and they said, and they wanted to use the name of the Lord over evil spirits. Well, authority that's in the name of Jesus rests under believers that really trust his word. There's another word, the name of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Let's pick that up. That'll help us. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's a whole theological place where I could get part of it for you today, but I will tell you this much. If you think you've idolized the name of Jesus, that you're going to go out and cast out demons and, you know, and done wonders in his name, there's power in the name of Jesus. And there are times when the name of Jesus has been declared, even though these other fellows got beat up pretty bad. But Jesus will honor his name. You may be living all hog wild and pig crazy and all kind of strange things you're doing. But his name cannot be perverted to the place where the authority in the name of Jesus causes demons to flee. You know, the Bible says that demons believe and tremble. You know why? At the speaking of the name of Jesus, they're in trouble. Big trouble. Let's expose this a little bit more. The authority of the name of Jesus belongs exclusively to real believers because it won't do any good. He says, oh, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So that means that it's possible for you to idolize the name of Jesus and use it as what you feel is a mantra that guarantees you some sort of advantage over people in the world. Not true. Little folk, I guess, way of looking at it. You can stand in a garage all day long, don't make you a car. You can put kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits, okay? Are you with me? You can call it whatever you want. It's not what it is. No one who names the name of Jesus, who names the name of Jesus can walk in the authority that goes with that name. The systems and methods of this world will try to imitate the power of God through various means cloaked in religion and its practices. Well, can I just take you back a few minutes in this worship service? When we start loving the name of Jesus, some of you who've never experienced the presence of the power of God before, Jesus' presence shows up when he's honored. There's a peace that happens. It's all of a sudden there's a safety that happens because the name of Jesus is honored. And do you know at that particular moment, had you really been instructed even further, and you know, it's one of those type of things, you just have to monitor what God's doing best you know how. But right at that moment, the miraculous power is available. Do you know why? Because you're in his presence and all you have to do is just reach out and receive. Oftentimes he says, well, just reach out and take it. You don't have to take nothing from Jesus. You don't have to snatch it from Jesus. I want this. This is mine. It's all available. Just receive. The love of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the freedom that you've always wanted, he's available right now. Well, the devil knows the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, and the devil recognizes idolatry in the form of religion that claims that Jesus has no power to save. Just for a quick moment, and not to deify anyone, but our culture will look down upon you because you believe in Jesus. Want to make some people mad? You want to tick them off real good? Just start speaking Jesus. Jesus, you believe in Jesus? Really? Well, we've risen above that. We don't need any Jesus. You know what I like to do? I say, look at me right in the eye. Look at me. I won't back down. I don't care. I believe Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and I will not be embarrassed. I will not be pushed around. I will not shut up. And there's something about boldly declaring, I've never been able to do that before. I just been intimidated all my life. Honey, let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Matter of fact, I need to go back to the fact that, you know, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just goes off. And things happen. Let me just kind of stay. I'm back now, okay. As a disciple of Jesus, you've been given access to the power of God that will invoke repentance and confession of sins. The heart of this story here in Acts is, even though the sons of Sceva kind of pull their little antics and they kind of go off in a tangent, something happened that stirred up the people. Something happened to those folks. They said, oh my, Jesus is here. And so let me review just a few other verses that in context. It says in verse 17, this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I won't ask you this question. I want to tell you and invite you to be a source of magnification of the name of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you how to do that. Simply enough, it involves these two elements that we just don't do very well. It's a thing called, I believe, repentance and confession. I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood, and all my buddies used to go to confession on Friday. They ate fish on Friday and they confessed on Friday. And they act like the devil on Saturday through the rest of the week. But they're not going to miss that confession. Let's stick that hand in the booth. Father, forgive me for our sins. Say so many Hail Marys and put some money on the poor box and you are done. And they come out there. They didn't do this, but they say, yes! And they go, they put the money in the box, this type of thing. I'm good for a week. She's telling me, she's nodding her head because she's a good little Catholic girl. I know. But I won't tell you, it doesn't work that way. I'm talking about confession. Repentance means to turn from what you were doing. It means it wasn't doing no good. It means it wasn't doing me any good or anybody else any good. Repent and you can be converted, not until you repent. But here's the part that we don't like. Confess. Confess means I was wrong. The idolatrous behavior that we have is that you are a victim of your parents and your psyche. It's not your fault that you are the way that you are. And you can never be quite what you need to be. Just learn to live with it. It's an affliction. You're not responsible at all. I want to tell you, if you want to know the Jesus that I know, if you want to have forgiveness of your sins, the Bible says you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That means leaving behind, saying he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. Nobody else can come except through him. Well, as a disciple of Jesus, we're given access to the power of God that will invoke that repentance. And Jesus will be magnified in the world, not as an idol, but as the Almighty Redeemer and Savior. See, the way this ends up, it's really wonderful. Is that they came, you know, with confessing and telling their deeds. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me all your junk. I don't need to know your junk. I really don't. But, you know, the one thing about it is God has given me what I call spiritual amnesia. Now, you could tell me something this week is something bad you did, and I will not remember you or what you said. It's a beautiful thing. Because I don't want to carry your garbage with me. You know. But I want to tell you today, and we'll get to that point in just a moment. But when we come to Jesus, there's something about it that we know that we've really been converted. Because a wave of repentance will come upon the lives of those who have a genuine encounter with the power of God. In other words, you're not hiding anymore.
Right.
Come on. You're not hiding. Word of God. Confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Some of us are carrying around afflictions in our life because we refuse to confess, I got a problem. Now, I said, don't find everybody because everybody can't hold it, okay? I can help you with that one. But because you told yourself, I ain't going to tell nobody. Well, keep your stuff. A wave of repentance will come upon the lives of those. There's no truer sign of the presence of Jesus than repentance of sin. Say, why would you say that? Because it's true. These next few verses prove it. And also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Brace yourself for this. It could be in your purse, your pocket, your glove compartment, at home under your bed, in your closet. But some of you are holding on to stuff that you need to get rid of. Now, why did I say that? Because the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. Some of you have closets. And I'm not talking about not necessarily a physical closet, but you have that hiding place where you hide your coping mechanisms. But I declare today, it's the day to empty your closet at this altar and let God have it. And as soon as you get home, flush it, burn it, throw it away, but don't give it away. Don't infect somebody else with that which has held you captive all your life. Oh, this is still good. There's a half a bottle left. I don't want to waste this. I'm trying to help you today. Don't put folks in bondage with the same stuff that kept you captive. Get rid of it. Burn it. Destroy it. It was destroying you until I told you how bad it was. Oh, I'm starting to feel this. You better watch out. Ooh, Jesus. The fruit of repentance is renouncing and removing idols that have occupied the place that is now given over to Him. Because every idol that you have in your life is displacing where Jesus belongs. We have a real encounter with Jesus. We're willing to give up an idol that we once allowed to occupy the place that needs to be given over to Him. Confessing our sin and placing other things before Jesus is a pathway to freedom and relationship. There's no price too great to render in exchange for the magnificence of the presence of Jesus in your life. Well, when we are empty of our life, the idols of this world, we will have room for the Holy Spirit to operate in signs and wonders. You know, many of you have been held up from doing what God has commissioned you to do because of holding on to things of this world. I look over this congregation of people, and many of you are very, very intelligent. I see people out here who've got master's degrees. A few of them even have gone further than that. Very expert managers and this type of thing. But that's not who you are. You're an agent of Jesus. Take the title, put it aside for a moment, and you're under the authority of Jesus all the time. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, severing the cord with this piece, verse 19 says, Acts 19:19 says, also those many who practiced magic brought the books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them in a total of 50,000 pieces of silver. Will it cost you something? Yeah. World's values, but it's nothing in relationship to what exchange you'll have with the Lord. As I kind of close my thoughts today, but I don't want you to move away from that place where I told you. That closet, that purse, whatever it happens to be. Some of you may have it with you today. Leave it here. Nobody's going to judge you for it. Leave it here. You say, what? What caused those people to bring all their books and stuff that they had, their bongs and... You know I said it. Glass pipes. Little rolling things, how they rolled them little things. Oh, Jesus. I just felt a wave of the Spirit right there when I said that. I'm going to stop right there because I need to do something right now. I want you to focus on what Jesus is telling you to do right now. I want you to put your perceived relationship aside. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit as he's directing you. Because in the same way, those people that were confronted by the reality of Jesus found freedom, not only when they confessed, but when they brought their junk, laid it at the feet, I don't know where they put it, on the floor or whatever, and said, I'm done. It's an idol. Bow your heads for a moment. I want to tell you some of the dialogue that's going on in your head right now. Well, it just helps me when I'm just unsure of myself. I'm not trying to take away from you medication that the doctor prescribed for you. I want to talk to you self-medicated folks. That Jesus says, I want to be everything you need in exchange for that idol that you're carrying right now. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to curse the works of the devil in the name of Jesus, in the name of Almighty God. I curse the work of the devil that has kept people in bondage, that's caused them to go back over and over and over again to with repetitive habits of those who right now know in their purse, in their closet, in their glove compartment, in some other hidden place in their house, at their friend's house, they have stuff. But they're ready to let go of it today. If you're really, really ready to let go, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Stand up right now. Stand up right now in the name of Jesus. Stand up right now. Stand up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't you wait for your neighbor to stand. You stand up because God's talking to you. Well, there's five more people need to be standing right now. I curse the works of the devil in your life that has held you captive. I curse him right now. 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 I plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation right now, that things that people have struggled with for years, we're going to burn it. This altar today is a burning fire for all the iniquity, all the problems, all the things that held you captive. Two more people need to be standing right now. I come against that in Jesus' name. Somebody told you you couldn't be free, but Jesus said you can be free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. In the name of Jesus, in the name. Some folks start interceding right now. We're going to war right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to war right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you folks are serious, I want everyone to stand. You folks are standing right now. Come to this altar right now. Come right now. Come in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.